Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Yeah.
All right.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Boy, that was a trip. I'm going to tell you. So in the middle of this whole transition coming into, undo that, and then there we go. Start the recording. Okay. So in the middle of doing all this, all the lights in my studio went out except for my little island. And that's because God told me about, I don't know, 6 months or so ago to get a backup and to put power backup on everything, including my internet. And so I have this backup. And so everything stayed lit. And my first thought was, oh, my gosh, the show's over. Everything's done because the power's gone. And thank God that's, you know, wasn't the case. But anyway, that was quite an interesting experience. Well, hey, listen, I am really tickled to have my next guest back on the program with me. He is the author of Tucker Carlson's really biography, and it's an authorized biography because they're very good friends, and the information that is there is there because of conversations that they had directly. And I want to welcome Chadwick Moore to the program. Chadwick, welcome. Great to have you back.
Great to be back with you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, a lot has happened. You know, I mean, there's been a great deal that's taken place. Last time that you were on, of course, we were talking about, you know, the fact that Tucker had been let go by Fox and what was that going to look like and so on. Of course, he's been putting out a lot of great material, including now, conversations regarding the interview specifically about what happened on January the 6th. And it's interesting because his whole thing, and let's talk about that. He's evolved in his view regarding January 6th. I mean, initially he was kind of like a lot of the, you know, folks, right, that were like, oh, these bad guys, these rioters, these terrible people. But then he started to kind of see some things. And what would you say, when was the point at which Tucker said, okay, I can no longer buy into the official narrative?
Yeah, that's a great question. You're right. Immediately on January 7th, or whenever his next show was, he immediately went on and condemned, you know, violence and this, and he still condemns violence, of course. But he condemned any violence that happened that day and unlawfulness. And I think that it's number one, I think a testament to a good journalist. Number two, a testament to the power of curiosity. I think a lot of us have been through journeys where you look at something, you sort of take the narrative for what it is, but then as soon as you start asking questions and start learning more, your whole world's flipped upside down. And all Tucker has been doing since January 6th is just asking questions.
Right.
And then you go down that rabbit hole. You find more people to talk to. And of course, now he has the chief of Capitol Police. And also there's Lieutenant from Capitol Police who he's interviewed as well. But not only that, you know, defendants, anyone else he's spoken to, the more he's looked into it, the more he's realized that something is greatly amiss here, if not absolutely and profoundly corrupt when it comes to what happened on January 6th.
It's a preponderance of evidence. I mean, and I think you make a great point regarding the journalistic aspect of this, right? Because as a journalist, what Tucker did on January 7th was report as a journalist what the narrative was, what was being said, not as an analyst, not as somebody who was looking at it analytically and saying, I'm not sure that I'm going to go there, but more and not as an opinionist, but as a journalist saying, this is what the narrative is. And yes, obviously we don't validate that violence should be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not not to get off January 6th. We can keep talking
about
that, but it reminded me of, you know, it's not the first time. This is very much how Tucker operates, and I think how journalists ought to operate, is, you know, COVID was another one of these. And I write about in the book how initially COVID was probably his biggest public mistake because he was reporting what he was hearing about the severity of COVID. Excuse me. He actually, and I read about this in the book, he went to Mar-a-Lago early on to report to Trump, this is a lot worse than your people are telling you. this is a lot worse than anyone is saying. I've got sources in China who are saying this or that. Now he admits, and he actually was very quick to realize he was getting bad information, that actually the disease wasn't as bad as he was being led to believe. And he has apologized for that. You know, he went on to, he never really pushed the vaccine. He kind of learned his lesson with that and was instantly skeptical of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But it's another example of, he was getting information, he reported it, but then he decided to, then he decided to look more into it. And then more people started coming forward and saying, no, what you're reporting is not accurate. Here's what's happening. That's what happened on January 6th for sure. And that is, I mean, imagine how many journalists out there, if they had that bone in their body to seek truth, to seek what's actually going on, to actually dig beyond the narrative and not stick to the narrative every step of the way, what a different country we would live in.
Well, and even to that, you know, I mean, I reported on this with Nan Su from the Epoch Times, and we talked about, you know, there were nearly 7 million cell phones that went dark in China. So there was a massive amount of death at the site, but it was a different project as it spread out. Italy experienced some significant issues, but why? Because they were very close to it. There were a lot of people that were moved into Italy. Was it intentional? I think so. I think the whole situation was intentional. I think this was a biological warfare attack, but people misunderstand the intent of it. They weren't going to kill a bunch of people in America. Our health care system is too strong. It's just too good. They knew they couldn't spread it enough. They tried it already. Look what they did back about 10 years ago under the Obama administration, when they brought all those sick people across the border, and then they started sending sick children to schools all across the country, thinking that they were going to start a pandemic. And guess what? Didn't work. So they knew they couldn't do it that way. No. It was the vax. It was shutting us down. It was getting everybody to stay home, close your business, close your church. It was shut America down without ever having to declare martial law.
Oh, yeah. I don't really know how you can come to any other conclusion but that, especially with the lockdowns. It was a massive experiment. It was to see what will people go along with, how much can we control the population? And the answer to that is extremely easily for a huge, maybe the majority of people in this country, which I think today a lot of us are still, I still see people wearing masks and double masks in public where I live in liberal New York City. And it's sad, firstly, and also horrifying to realize the extent to which they probably view this as a very successful experiment in wielding power and control.
Yeah, it's really quite stunning when you stop and think about what they were able to accomplish. And of course, Tucker was one of those voices that, in the midst of all of it, as you said, he'd say, okay, well, here's a narrative. Now, let's figure out, is this truth? Is what's being said true? And then we bring people onto the program, we interview, we vet, we try to figure it out, and then we tell the people, okay, I know you're being told this, but here's some information you really need to consider. Am I reading that right, brother?
I think you are reading that right. You know, one thing too, with, you know, one thing he has this unique position is he, somebody asked me to say, like, what is his politics? And I said, well, I think what's more interesting is what his social status is, and that is he's a class traitor. You know, he comes from the world of the elites. He comes from the elite media and elite political world, and he abandoned that because he wanted to call out how they behave, who they really are, what they're really about. And he wasn't someone, unlike everyone else in mainstream media and everyone on cable news and everyone at Fox, they get their news from the front page of the New York Times, still to this day. Those five stories, wherever the front page is, I haven't looked at it in a long time.
Yeah.
But that's the news of the day. And everyone's afraid to not report on those things because they'll look stupid, they'll look out of touch. Tucker doesn't, like, by design, doesn't report on what the front page of the New York Times is. And in fact, he gets tons, and this goes into his reporting on J6 and on COVID. He gets tons of information from every average day people. He gives his cell phone number to everyone he meets. You know, there's something like 400, you know, plumbers and waiters and pilots and flight attendants and nurses who he just, they come up to him and say, hey, I love what you do. I love that story you did on this. By the way, have you read this book? No, I haven't. Well, here's my phone number. So he gets, his show had this very mom, and of course they vet information they're coming in, but they would get these stories from people. And a lot of the COVID reporting came from nurses he'd met randomly from hospitals saying, this is actually what's happening. This is not what's really going, what they're saying is not really happening here from the front lines. I'm telling you this and that, which I always thought that's what journalists should do too. But journalism has become such a cloistered elitist institution.
Right.
That, you know, talking to, you know, every average day people and finding out what the beat on the street is beneath them. It's what the government says it is, or what the companies say it is, and report that word for word. You know, the power in what he, how he does it differently is evident. And it's a lot of this, I'm going to report what the official narrative is, and then people are coming forward. No, this is not true. And here's the evidence, and vetting that and then producing that content.
It's also interesting, and you and I talked a little bit about this, and I'm glad to have you back because I wanted to go a little further into it. But it's also interesting to have watched his evolution of faith, because I know he was, you know, he comes from a very libertarian background. And you, just, as you said, he came from a very, from kind of an elite. He came from the Ivy world. He came from, you know, this place where everybody kind of snubbed their noses at the little guy and, you know, and they, you know, it was kind of, there was this shield around, and there is still this shield around that 3%, if you will. But he broke through that. And as he's broken through that, it feels like, too, he has rediscovered that connection of faith. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Excuse me again. Yes, he's certainly now more than ever. I mean, that's probably one of his, I'd say probably one of his two biggest political shifts. The first being around 2003, when he really sort of left neoconservatism and Beltway conservatism over the Iraq War. He was a big supporter of the Iraq War. He's a big supporter of his tribe, the neoconservative tribe. And he went to Iraq to report for Esquire magazine. And that's when he really changed his mind on American foreign policy and what the neocons were all about. And he said he realized that neoconservatives were just liberals with guns, the most dangerous kind, were his words. I think his next major political shift, because from that point forward, he was always sort of a rapscallion and sort of a mischievous little scamp. He liked poking the bear. He was always a civil libertarian, he would call himself, kind of a live and let live guy. I think his next biggest political shift has come in the last couple years, which is to really see what's happening in this country as a battle between good and evil. And that language, of course, freaks out the Murdochs. They really are not fans of overt religiosity. I don't believe they're Christian. Maybe they are. I don't know. That certainly annoyed them and freaked them out. He increasingly began speaking in those terms. And also, I think that he's shifted as someone who cares less about politics per se. And I kind of think this is the portrait of him that came out in the book. Is that he's a man who cares less about politics per se, and he's more concerned with questions of morality, spirituality, beauty, family. And he sees those things as integral to politics, but he's more concerned with those questions rather than what the Democrats say, what the Republicans say, this or that.
It's interesting, and I know we want folks to go and get Tucker and to pick up your book. But David Horowitz is a guy who is, you know, an agnostic. He says, I'm an agnostic. I'm an agnostic. I don't know. But one of the things that he says is that America cannot survive if it's not Christian. Period. End of story. If America does not embrace its Christian roots, America dies. And I think Tucker has come to that same conclusion that if America does not get back to its Christian foundation and understanding who gives it its righteousness, its position in the world, its right standing and its ability to have the right glasses on when it looks at situations and justice and all these things. If we don't get back to that, we're done. We're finished. It's over.
Oh, yeah. And one of the biggest breaks, I mean, he's the only person in mainstream media who, you know, questions the religion of the dollar, which, you know, traditionally the Republican Party was associated with big business, you know, whatever is good for business is good for the country. But there's coming a reckoning now, and he's sort of at the forefront in mainstream media, or was in mainstream media, of saying, no, maybe your job isn't everything. You know, maybe there is more to life, and maybe the Republican Party should be more preoccupied with that. You know, he certainly, I can't think of any Republican leader who speaks like that. Maybe there's a few out there, but he's certainly, something has occurred to him over the last few years. And it's all along those lines. It's family, morality, spirituality, beauty, nature, that are all these big questions that he, I think, wishes the Republican Party was more concerned with.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, this is one of my battles, okay, you know, is, you know, I have talked about this for a number of years now, you know, the pushback against the LGBTQ, you know, that where libertarians say, well, live and let live. But the problem is that once you legalize something, once you say, okay, now we're going to say, okay, same sex marriage is legal. Well, guess who becomes a victim of that? No matter what. The children, the kids, okay? Because you've just legalized it, so now you got to teach it. Now you've got to teach that kind of sex. Now you've got to teach that kind of lifestyle. And not only do you have to teach it, but you have to say, hey, it's normal. Yeah. When you breach that consciousness, when you breach that moral consciousness in an innocent child like that, you know, I think about you ever seen the movie Ratatouille?
Yes.
Okay. Remember in Ratatouille, his buddy who eats like just the grossest stuff in the world. Yeah. And he's like, hey, you know, once you get past the smell, you know, anything's fine. Okay. Well, it's funny, but it's the same thing. Once you've pierced that child's conscience, once you've destroyed their innocence, then virtually anything becomes okay. Anything. And that's why this is such a critical issue. And it pissed me off when people would say to me, oh, those are just social issues. You're just concerned about... No, I'm concerned about the moral fiber of this country, and if we don't get that right, we're effed.
And it's not just teaching that it's normal. It's now gone to teaching that it's superior. You know, and if you look at all of these, I mean, why is it they say 20% of Gen Z identifies as LGBTQ or whatever? Well, firstly, all that's in the queue, but that means that they've made it to be that it's cool. You have to be this. You know, my 14-year-old niece tells me about like trans kids in her class, and you know, it's horrifying. But it's because it's seen as it's like being alternative or punk or goth now. It's being trans. I don't think the kids really understand necessarily what that is, but it's certainly saying this is a cool way to be. This is a superior way to be. All the normal, boring people are not like this. Right. It's absolutely horrifying. Or, you know, we were told that gay marriage was, oh, this is just love is love. Well, no, now it's bow down and we're coming for your children. Literally, as we will chant in the streets of New York.
Absolutely.
As they did recently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing, you know, and it's interesting, you know, Tucker has made, I think, that turn, that shift. You know, I think having children helps with that, right? When your own kids are, even if you're in private school right now, it's still, you're still fighting those forces that are trying to get through the door. Charlie Kirk has made that shift. Charlie's come out and said, hey, you know what? I was young and I didn't get it, but boy, now I'm really getting it. And it is, it's a critical issue. Where do you, so let's go back to the January 6th thing. We've got this understanding now. We've got testimonies that are coming in about many hundreds of federal agents engaged in what appears to be a staged and set up publicity to try and vilify virtually half the country.
Yeah, I mean, we learned the police chief's son, who Tucker did a sit down with last week, and for the record, he had already he had interviewed Sons for Fox News. It was meant to air April 24th, the night that his show was taken off the air.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Wow.
And also, his monologue for that day's show had to do with January 6th. I saw that monologue the day that his show was taken off the air. So that was the day his show was taken off the air. He could not legally rebroadcast that original interview because it's the property of Fox News. It was work created for Fox while he's under contract. So he just said, well, I'm just going to do the interview again.
There you go.
Which is what he did.
Yeah.
And we learned the extent to which, I mean, it's a fascinating interview if your audience hasn't seen it. But, you know, we have names. We have directly Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell were two of the people who denied federal resources to the Capitol Police that day, even when the Capitol Police chief was saying, we need urgent now backup, urgent, urgent, urgent. They denied it. We know that people at the Pentagon denied it. He said that there were, I think, about 200 National Guardsmen who could see the Capitol from where they were. They were told they couldn't come in until 6 p.m., which was after everything had calmed down. We also learned that, I mean, allegedly there was all this intelligence ahead that were all these domestic terrorists were headed to the Capitol that day. Tucker didn't ask that. The report says there were 19 domestic terrorists headed to the Capitol that day. My first question is, who are these domestic terrorists? What constitutes a domestic terrorist? Have they committed a violent crime for political ends? Because that's what a terrorist is. And if they had, why are they not arrested, and why are they still out in the population? So these are 19 people that allegedly the intelligence community had identified as domestic terrorists for whatever reason, and they're still among us, that they said they knew were headed to the Capitol that day. And yet none of this intelligence was shared with the Capitol Police, who their job is to secure the Capitol, and they're the only ones at the Capitol that day to secure it. Those are sort of the big headlines that we got from that interview. And it seems to be, as Tucker pointed out, that's not a failure in intelligence or a failure in security. That is intentional. I don't see how you can look at that any other way.
Well, I don't think there is any other way to look at it, honestly. I mean, at the end of the day, and then I think the other revelation, and we're going to run out of time here, but we'll get you back on again. But the other revelation has to do with the number of federal agents that were told. I mean, you know, and the fact that the federal agents were there before the Ellipse crowd could have ever been there. So the federal agents were with the group that breaches the Capitol, and then the Ellipse people show up, and it's like, oh, okay, it's okay to go in, you're waving us through. That is actually the timing of the events.
Yes, and now you have, here's my prediction. I have been wrong before, but I'm just going to share my prediction with you.
Okay.
You have Ray Epps, who is now suing Fox News, not suing Tucker Carlson, but suing Fox News for labeling him a federal agent. You know, he was a very suspicious person who was there that day, only person caught on camera telling people to storm the Capitol, and also has been treated, treated like a saint by the J6 committee and by liberal media. And Tucker has always questioned whether or not he was a Fed. So now he's suing Fox News for that. My prediction is Fox is going to settle the case as a nuisance lawsuit. That way there's no discovery. And also they'll use it as a further way to tarnish Tucker Carlson and his reporting. That's just what I think is going to happen.
Well, they've got to try to silence Tucker. I mean, he's going to get too big again, and they have to keep him quiet.
Yeah.
Not only now is he
a threat to the editorial mission of Fox News, which is why he was taken off the air, because Fox has their editorial mission. But now he's going to be a threat to their ratings and their audience, not only because they're not coming back to Fox, but he's going to be stealing the show from them.
Yeah.
And people are going to be watching Twitter or wherever he ends up instead of Fox News.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Chadwick, thank you so much for being with me today. Chadwick Moore, author of the book Tucker. And best place to pick that up, probably Amazon. Easy to get in Amazon?
Books a Million, Walmart, yeah. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you get your books.
There you go. Chadwick Moore, author, and the book is Tucker. And I really encourage you to get a copy of it today. We got to take a break. We'll be back. Matt Long and I are going to continue this conversation about J6. We've got some J6 defendants that are going to be in the Hill Country this coming Saturday. And so, and I had a great conversation with David Summerall of StopHate.com last night. We'll talk about all that coming up in the next couple of minutes. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that...
Seen that Tucker Carlson interview. I know it's on Twitter and you're not a Twitter person or X. I'm calling it Twix now, by the way. It's no longer, to me, it's, you know, the company formerly known as Twitter. We're going to call it X here, or Twix here, I think is what I'm going to call it. There's lots of good reasons not to get on Twitter, and I can tell you what those reasons are. But you probably know them yourself.
Computer, visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation
with,
and make a tax-deductible donation.
Here
now
in
back
just
to Chosen
second.
Generation with Pastor
and
Greg.
Let's see if I can make this work.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I think we are linked up with my good friend and Hill Country Patriot Radio joining the Chosen Generation Radio network of stations and on TECNTV.com as well. And as our website at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Matt Long, are you with me, my friend?
Yes, sir. We are right here, ready, raring to go. Got a great topic for today, and
yes.
And so yeah, let's take this away. You know, on Saturday we have Mark and Jalise Middleton, who were a couple of good people who decided that Jalise tells her story of the morning she woke up and said, you know, I want to go to D.C. on January 6th. They never entered the Capitol building.
In fact, they were even on the grounds for a very short time because of health issues of Jalise, and yet they are now looking at two felonies and each, and at least four misdemeanors, if I remember correctly. And on top of that, I personally know people who went up to the Capitol on January 6th, and I have to tell you, Pastor Greg, this is one of those situations where passing judgment on January 7th on as to what happened was maybe not so wise. Do you agree with me on that?
No, I absolutely do. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because I was on air, as I'm sure you were, on January 7th, and I had a guest that, you know, was passing judgment on what happened. And I said to them, I said, no, I don't agree. I think that there's more to this. And I said from the very onset, and I'm not trying to be a, you know, I told you so kind of a person at all. I'm just saying I believed, and you, I mean, you know me, you've known me for years now. You know, I was connecting the dots, Ruby Ridge, Waco, you know, the Bundy Ranch, the murder of LaVoy Finicum. I was already connecting those dots when this whole situation happened. And my feeling was, is let's wait because there's more to this story that's going to come out. And it's not what people are thinking that it is. And it's interesting. I just finished an interview last half hour with Chadwick Moore, who wrote the book Tucker. He's the autobiographer of Tucker. And we were talking about, I think you mentioned about, you know, the interview. We talked quite in depth about that interview. And, you know, what people may not know is that on April 24th, which was the day that Tucker's show was canceled, he was going to air the Sundberg interview. He'd already done it. It was in the can. And he also was going to dialogue about J6. And we talked about, with Chadwick and I talked about the fact that on January 7th, Tucker, as a journalist, reported on what was being reported. Oh, this was a, these were rioters. These were, they breached the Capitol. And then he began the investigation.
Right.
And,
so,
you know. Good.
No, go ahead.
No. Well, no. And of course, as he investigated, what he discovered was is that the narrative that had been pushed didn't match with the facts.
Right.
It just didn't.
You know, and yeah, and that is something that we've been seeing for I think ever since even with Obama going in, that the narrative that's pushed on us by the mainstream media just hardly ever matches anymore. I watched, I think after, right after January 6th, I was in the same position. I remember where I was when that happened. We were actually having our own rally on Gillespie County Courthouse, and we had a giant TV that Jet Burns had set up for us down there, and we're running it off of the generator in our Hill Country Patriot Hummer. And we were watching live what was happening in D.C., and it scared us all when we saw what was going on, and pretty much everybody packed up and went home to keep track of what was happening. And it was probably 2 or 3 months after that, Greg, that I sat down one night and I started digging around for YouTube videos of people who had their own phone videos that they had shot that day at the Capitol. Yeah. Did you ever spend much time doing that?
You know what popped out to me was the Nick Searcy film, which came out pretty quickly and was a conglomerate of those things. I started getting guests on my program, Nina May and just some different other individuals that came on the program that gave me their stories of what happened. And some of the conversations I had with Epic Times people as well at that point, and everything that I was hearing was in complete and total contradiction to the images that were being put out by mainstream media. All of it, everything yeah. contradicted. And I think you and I had a conversation about it and I know you were doing your investigation, but I mean, the majority of people, even on the conservative side, were all still kind of in the camp of, nah, you know, this was bad. This was there was bad actions. These people should not mm-hmm. have done this. You know, that was just the general consensus. And maybe right. I'm a little bit, you know, more conspiratorial. I don't know, but I just,
you know, I think the conspiratorial part, now that we have the Stephen Sund interview with Tucker Carlson, man, I tell you what, this guy was the chief of, he was the head of the police, of the force up there at the Capitol,
yeah.
was fired the next day and replaced by the woman who very likely was the reason everything fell apart. In the Sund interview, the Carlson Sund interview, he says that it's pretty much established that it was a huge breakdown in intelligence, either sharing or gathering or distribution of intelligence. All of that was the biggest failure. And the person in charge of that at the Capitol was the woman who was put in charge the very next day when Stephen Sund was fired. And that freaks me out, Pastor Greg.
Well, the other part to this is, and we talked a little bit about this with Chadwick, was, you know, there were 19 individuals supposedly that were identified as domestic terrorists that were coming. But here's the thing that, right. that concerns me. I'm sure that several of them were the leaders of the Proud Boys. Now, you and I both know Maria, right? Okay? Here,
right.
Okay. Well, Maria will tell you if you talk to her that it was Proud Boys that defended her and protected her in several of the rallies that she went to from BLM and Antifa. If the Proud Boys right. hadn't been there, she'd be dead. She would yeah. be yeah. dead, and she says that, okay? So mm-hmm. so the head of Proud Boys, who by the way, is was he Puerto Rican, I believe? Or part
yeah,
Puerto Rican,
like that.
Yeah, but he's a white supremacist. Let's just be clear, right? He's a white.
yeah.
He's a white. He's okay. And then you have the Oath Keepers and Rhodes, who never breached the Capitol. By the way, never went inside.
Right, never went in.
Actually, they instructed their guys, "Don't go in. Don't
yeah.
go in." And yet he gets 18 years.
Yeah, that is so wrong. I think my very, very first perusal of that, and I watched for hours, and it was just going from one video to another, and this was before anybody had really put anything together. And I noticed people coordinating movement inside the Capitol. I noticed people coordinating movement outside of the Capitol. There was coordination going on by plainclothes people. Now, some people say it's Antifa. Some people will say it's BLM Antifa. Others will say it was the government, the FBI, the CIA, whoever, that it was some kind of government operation. And so there's these big conspiratorial theories about it. It bothers me that the January 6th commission was so lopsided and worthless and horrible.
Yep.
But we're still completely getting fed this. And I want to say this because I watched the Epoch Times released a movie, I think it was in the last couple of days, having to do with January 6th. They've done a couple of them, but this one was where they had access to all the Capitol cameras, all right? So we had a number of journalists who had the ability to go in and sit down and look at the closed circuit feed inside of the Capitol. And I have to tell you, there were idiots being idiots at the front of that line. And I don't, it may have been I believe that 99.9999% of the people that went up to the Capitol that day were all good people with good intentions and were not going to do anything wrong. But there were a handful of people right there at the front ready to go who were idiots, and those are the ones I think we need to find out who they were, where they came from, And I'm sorry, there were a lot of idiots in that at the front of that line on January 6th.
Well, I talked to David Summerall yesterday, and yes, there were, and there were his estimation is that there were agent provocateurs that were a part of that. Now, in addition to that, there was, and I was trying to look up the name, but it's in one of the videos. I don't know if it's in, it may have been in, even the initial Epic Times, but I believe it was in David's as well. But there was a gentleman who was shot in the face by DC Capitol Police who wasn't doing anything. And one of the videos shows that he was shot in the face. I don't remember if he lost an eye, but I believe that he did. But he was shot in the face. And then there were individuals that went, that kind of surrounded him to protect him, and then went up to the police line and were like, "Hey guys, why are you firing on us? Nobody's doing anything here."
Yeah, on the Epic Times movie that just came out, you can actually hear and see. You hear the audio from the Capitol Police, or from the D.C. police, where they're given permission to fire non-lethal projectiles. But as someone said, these non-lethal projectiles are traveling at, what, 30 feet per second or something like that. They were just shooting randomly into the crowd at the front up there. This, between the Sund interview and the Epic Times movie, I think this is more information that we've gotten out in this last week than we've had access to before. I think a lot of it was what everybody suspected, and I'm sure there'll be people out there that say, "Well, we told you this, Matt, a year ago." But folks, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to prove it. And that is, I think we're getting closer to the proof that all of these conspiracy theories are probably true.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of the day, you know, we can get caught up in, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned, because obviously look what's happening. We still have 150 people that are still being held. Okay. That now we're pushing on 2 years of them being held without having been charged, and in deplorable conditions. All right. Go to stophate.com and get the book that is the letters from these guys telling you what they're living through and what's happening to them. Actual letters from these prisoners. But my point is that we need to move. We need to not move past, but we need to look at the bigger picture. The 30,000 foot view on this is still they are kicking down doors of innocent Americans all across the country, whether it's the FACE Act and they're going after those that are pro-life, or whether it's going after individuals that don't espouse what they want. Parents are domestic terrorists now. Their list of domestic terrorists is expanding, and you and I are likely on that list somewhere simply because of the fact that we will not bow down and kiss their ring. And that's the view that we better wake up to and realize. And I know we talk about elections. I just had Gregory Stenstrom and Leah Hoops on the program. And if you've missed that, go to ChildrenGenerationRadio.com, go to the show archives, and click on our link that goes to the Rumble page and listen to what they've had to say. They have presented to Jim Jordan the criminal evidence to indict individuals for election fraud for him to use, and he has the power through the House Judiciary to start proceedings against these individuals and bring criminal charges. And they've given him the criminal evidence. And we need to call Jim Jordan and say, and on air, just so you know, and you can tell Chip Roy as well, I sent a text to Jim Jordan and to Chip Roy with Greg Stentrum and a copy of that interview saying, "Hey, you've got this evidence, now act on it."
Well, I've got Chip Roy coming on tomorrow at 9:07, so I will add that to my list to ask. Pastor Greg, we're out of time. I love our Tuesdays. Thank you so much for wanting to talk about J6. We're going to stay on top of this, and hopefully I can see you Saturday with I'll introduce you to Jaleese and Mark Middleton in Kerrville. Thank you, Pastor Greg.
All right. God bless you, Matt. God bless you, Hill Country Patriots. Love y'all. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a little break, too, as well. Listen, you know, in all of this that we're talking about, one of the most critical issues, and I talk about this regularly, and it's really important, on two fronts. Number one, you know, your health. And I'm as someone who has had health challenges, who continues to regularly have to stay on top of it so that I can end up with, you know, positive, great blood work results like these, okay? As someone who is engaged in this, I'm telling you right now, it is absolutely critically important that you take care of this temple. If you don't, this has to be good so you can be out there and vocalize and get engaged and get involved and make a difference and fulfill God working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. But you got to take care of your body so you can be engaged and be involved. So listen carefully to this instruction, because it's so critically important that you're able to fight this fight. Here we go. We're coming up on our CGR.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And and the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultra Shot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use, this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultra Shot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.